These are important days. It's an important time in which we live. And we must be spirit people. We must be led by the Spirit in everything and in every way. Always putting the will of God first above our own will. Selling out to Him wholeheartedly. I've got some things that are just that just jumped up on the inside of me just a few moments ago. So I want you to be seated. We're just going to jump into this and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in this. And you know, many times we come to church and we think that church has to be a certain way when it doesn't. But the only way that it has to be is the way of the Spirit. Amen. You know, we were in the office a little bit ago, and I was looking at some things in the Word and looking at some things in my notes, and they're good things, but consequently, we're going to go a little bit different direction than that today, but that's all right. That's good. And I just read this scripture to Robin as we were sitting there, and Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12. If you grab your Bible, turn and look at this. Matthew chapter 12. Because there are some things that we read in the Word and they're strong. And so many of these things, you know, we just read over them and we think that we got them. We think that we're living by them. And we really don't do much with them. But I was looking at this verse here in Matthew 12, verse 30. This wasn't even really part of what I was thinking about today. But this is the mind of God. Jesus said this, anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. What do you do with that? What do you do with that verse? That's heavy. Amen. What do you do with this? Jesus said this. Let's read it again. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. Well, we think, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're not opposing him. But then he goes on to say this, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. How many of us are actually working with him? Not against him. What does it really mean to be a true follower of Jesus? To sell out to Him and to live our lives according to things that He has laid out for us in Holy Scripture. We live in a day, an age where compromise is all around us. Are you here? Everywhere you turn, compromise, compromise this, compromise that. The compromise has crept into the church. Amen. How many of you realize that God doesn't compromise? Amen. Compromise means to change. God doesn't change. His holiness hadn't changed. His will hadn't changed. He doesn't change. Amen. And just because something may seem to be popular in the world and even in the church world, it doesn't mean that it's right. The majority is not always right. It was the majority that crucified Jesus. Wow. We really should do an evaluation. Continually. I mean, I know we've got people that have been part of this ministry, part of this church, since even before me, and part of this ministry for decades. It's wonderful. But still, even after all of that, we must continually do research in our own heart, search our hearts to make sure that we aren't allowing the influences of the day to influence us, but to only be influenced by the Word. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. It's okay if we go a little bit different direction today, isn't it? It's going to have to be because that's what we're doing. Romans chapter 1, and look here in verse 18. Some of these scriptures are like, wow. A lot of times, you know, I said this to you at sometime, last week, week before last, sometime. A lot of times we have selective reading. Amen. Where we only read certain verses and we only like to apply certain verses to our lives. The ones that actually fit our opinion, the ones that actually fit what we think is right. But it says here in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, look at this. What do you do with this? It says, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities. His eternal power and divine nature. Now look at this. It says, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. Amen. The world today has no excuse for not knowing God. Even if you never heard a message preached per se from the pulpit, you have no excuse for not knowing God. It's what we just read. Didn't we just read that? Yes, it says they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. Many people do that today. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. You see that? When you try to come up with your own idea what you think God is like, the scripture just tells us, told us right here, that your mind is in danger of becoming dark and confused. You got to stick with the Word. Claiming to be wise, verse 22, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. That is a scary verse. Amen. That is a scary verse of scripture right here. Look at that. So God abandoned them because they came up with their own ideas about God and the way that things should be. Wow. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. Go ahead, he said. Go ahead. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex, and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. What do you do with these verses? These aren't popular today. These don't fit the culture of the day. These don't fit. Right? And so then we have to have, in order to avoid these, we have selective reading, or we get a little pair of scissors and we cut these verses out, because, you know, we can't really read those, because if we read them, well, you know, that was a long time ago and that really doesn't apply to us today. Are you here? God doesn't change. His methods about going about things, especially regarding salvation, right? No longer do we have to offer the blood of bulls and goats, but Jesus came and he died for us and he offered his holy sinless blood. So thank God we don't have to do those things again. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? But that's no excuse for not living according to the word. Keep going. Let me pick another message. Oh, what verse were we on? 28. Since they found it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, gossip. They're backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand. Notice that. Did you see that? They refuse to understand. In other words, they have the capacity to understand, but they refuse. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. What do you do with verses like this? What do you do with that? We need to live according to these verses. This is Holy Scripture, right? You know, we should never use Scripture to try to justify our own selfish, sinful desires, but we should use it to help show people the difference between right and wrong, to help us to judge sin rightly. We really should. Because true followers of Christ understand that the purpose of judgment is never about condemnation. The purpose of judgment is to help people get free. And to live free. Live free from the penalty of sin, which is death or separation from God. Righteous judgment shows people in the light of God's love, and it will extend a helping hand to those that are in danger, the fires of hell. I've preached this for years, and you've probably heard me say this for years. In one sense, in light of this, God's never sent anybody to hell. We send our own selves there. That's the penalty. But if we'll judge ourselves, are you here? We won't have to go that route. Examine our lives in the light of the Word of God. Examine our relationship. Okay, maybe we read these verses and we think about, okay, this applies to everybody else. This applies to what's going on in the world. But then we don't see any area where we can relate to it personally because we're thinking about others. But the truth is, We should be continually examining our relationship with God. Yes. Continually examining our walk with God. Amen. Oh, I so wanted to preach a feel-good message today. But this will make you feel better after we hear it. If you'll apply it. Amen. Living close to God is a necessity. Not an option in these days. Because there are so many voices around us and so many things pulling on us. I want to make sure that I am following His voice. Look at something in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. You know, the term Christian. It's a very loose term today. It's a very loose term. But look here in Acts chapter 11. Verse 25, it says, "Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul, but when he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowds of people." Then it goes on to say this, that it was at Antioch, that's in Turkey, it was at Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. It's interesting to note that Jesus, He didn't call Himself a Christian. Never once in Scripture will you find where Jesus called Himself a Christian. Amen? And He didn't tell others to call His followers Christians. You won't find that in the Word. It's just not there. So many things we just take for granted. Right? The first apostles, they never called each other Christians. So for quiet in here. They called each other such thing as brother and sister. Right? Christian was a term that people in the world, pagan people in the world, came up with to identify the followers of Christ. The Christ-like ones. You know, some people even say that this term was actually used in a derogatory fashion at first to describe a group of people that were radical, that were sold out in their beliefs, in their faith, in their trust in God. It was a term used to describe people who were like Christ Jesus. And a lot of them thought He was a nut. Some people, you know, picked it up and, you know, used the term fondly, which is wonderful, right? Well, they're like Christ Jesus because, you know, they walk in love. They heal the sick. Jesus did that. They cast out demons. Jesus did that. That's a Christian. They raised the dead. You know, Jesus did that. That's a Christian that raises the dead. Are you here? Many people today, we call ourselves Christians, but in one sense, these same people really aren't as radical as those listed here in Acts chapter 11. We aren't quite as radical. Those that call themselves or profess to be Christian, see, they're calling themselves instead of being labeled by that, because the world notices these things about your life. But the fact of the matter is, in a lot of areas, the church, not every, I'm talking about as a whole, but the church just isn't quite as radical and following Jesus the way that it was 2,000 years ago. Some pockets around the world it is. But in the U.S., it's not quite as radical. But we're Christian. We pride ourselves in calling ourselves, "I'm a Christian." instead of being called that, identified that in the proper context of what it means to be a Christian, a Christ-like one. In other words, Christ. Christ wasn't Jesus' last name, Jesus Christ. Christ described him, the Messiah, yes, or the anointed one, and his anointing, that anointing that was on his life, right? And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The scripture tells us that. And then we do those same things. That means that that same anointing that was on Jesus, that gave him the term Jesus Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing that was on him, it should be recognized on us. How many so-called Christians today, can you look at their lives and can you examine their lives and you look and you try to find little bit of evidence, traces of the anointing that's removing burdens and destroying yokes of people around the world that need help? Christ-like ones. Amen. We shouldn't pride ourselves in calling ourselves a Christian. In that light and in that context. But let the fruit speak for itself. Let your walk with God speak for itself. Let the miraculous things that happen when you show up because God showed up with you, because the anointing's upon your life, let the fruit of that speak for itself. Instead of compromising things so that we can fit in and be popular like the rest of the world. It's awful quiet in this Presbyterian church. Amen. Here's what Jesus said, how people would or should recognize us as being followers. Look at John chapter 13. John 13, verse 35 from the Living Bible. It says, your strong love for each other will prove to the world that you're my disciples. See, a lot of times we equate love as not saying anything. It's not trying to correct. You know, love will correct. Many times we look at love as just something that is passive. You know, love can be aggressive as well. Very passionate. Are you here? The Passion Translation puts it this way. It says, for when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. Loving one another does not mean that we have to accept as normal everybody else's lifestyle and behavior. Well, that's love. No, we love, but we don't compromise our standard of truth. Well, we can't say anything because, you know, it's just not popular. I don't want to be, you know, look like the bad guy here. You're not the bad guy. Since when is speaking the truth in love trying to help somebody in love with a smile on your face? I'm not talking about anger now, but with a smile on your face. Not wrong. Why do we view that as being unpopular? I would much rather be popular with heaven than popular with earth. Jesus was more popular with heaven. Look at him in his day when he was here on the planet. He was popular, but he wasn't popular in a good way with the majority. A lot of the prophets that we hail today and we regard today and we read about today, when they were alive and when they gave forth the word of the Lord to the king, and when they gave forth the word of the God, word of God over a nation or whatever the case may be, they weren't popular. They weren't really loved. They didn't become loved till after they were gone. Then we talk about how great they were. Because they would get in your face when they were here. Amen? Oh, they would. There's been an all-out assault from the powers of darkness against the church of the living God in these final days of this sin-sick earth. An all-out assault. And the purpose of this demonic assault against the body of Christ is to wear people down and to prey on the weak, prey on the double-minded, or those that are easily swayed, depending on who they're with that day, depending on the crowd that they're around, depending on the conversation that they're listening to. Double-minded. Easily swayed, one direction or the other. And the purpose of this all-out assault is to get Christians, followers of Christ, to compromise their lifestyle and to compromise their standard for following Him, to deceive the elect, if possible, to pull people out. Amen. This morning I have a question for you that I'd like to ask you, and a question that you should really ponder and think about. Just how much of God do you really want? I mean, really, truly, just how much of God do you really want? We didn't want Him in school, so we kicked Him out. Then we get upset and wonder why bad things happen and why these gunmen come into schools and they kill all of these people. Well, you kicked God out. Well, why didn't God do something about it? You told Him to leave the building. You wonder why people go into theaters, movie theaters, dress up all crazy and pull out guns and just begin to shoot people. We wonder, why didn't God do something about that? He did. Why didn't you do something about it 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Before things ever got to that point. Are you here? Amen. The truth is, we can have as much of God as we really want. He doesn't limit us. Just how much we base our lives according to His Word, our lives according to the Holy Scripture, we can have as much or as little of that as we want. We can pick and choose things to live by, but that doesn't mean that we are truly following Him and giving Him everything that we should be. Amen. Yes. Say it with me. I can live as close to God as I want to. You're awful quiet. Say it like you mean it. I can live as close to God as much as I want. As much as you want to. It's available to us. The trouble is, we haven't wanted. We wanted God on our own terms. Our relationship, our walk with God comes on our own terms. Well, this is my truth. This is what I believe. Well, just because you believe it, it doesn't make it true. It matters what you believe. Just make sure you believe the right thing. Well, these are my beliefs. So, are your beliefs based on the Word? Huh? You know, sometime years ago, I was praying The Holy Spirit spoke this to me, and I wrote it down, and I'll never forget it. He said this. He said, the closer you are to me, the further away the devil is from you. The closer you are to me, the further away that the devil is from you. You know, when you're close to God, you're going to be far away from sin. You're going to be far away from everything that comes along with sin, including sickness, disease, poverty, lack, oppression, depression. You'll be far away from these things when you're close to God. You're not going to want to try to figure out how you can do something and get by with it because, you know, it's really, it's kind of questionable here, but, you know, I think God will forgive me. Well, of course he's going to forgive you, but why are you trying to look for ways to skirt the edges here, to do something, to get away with it, just to see how far you can go? Are you here? Anything that does harm to your life, to the life of another, anything that would even destroy or hurt the temple of God, which you are, your physical body, your body is the temple of God. Anything that you do to your body, just because something may be legal, it doesn't make it right. Amen. Oh, we got to hurry up here. Compromise. Let's talk a bit about this. Compromise. Compromise is a deadly mixture in the life of a believer. It's not a good thing at all. Compromisers, when you compromise the word, when you compromise your lifestyle, you're not going to live as close to God as you should be. You may lie to yourself. You may try to lie to others and put up this facade. You know, I'm a Christian, but yet I still live this way, and I still act this way, and I still do this, and I do that. And look, I'm still here. I'm okay. But the truth is that when you begin to compromise, you're not as close to God as you think that you are. It's a very prideful, it's a very scary thing to think that we're so close to God when we're everything but that. And we're so far away from Him. But the good news is He wants us to be close. He's not trying to drive people away. He's trying to bring them in. If we will listen. Right? Amen. A compromiser will never truly seek first the kingdom. We'll seek first our own kingdom. We'll try to appear to others that we're kingdom seekers. We try to appear to others that we're a certain way. But the fact of the matter is, according to the word, we're not truly seeking first the kingdom. There's still areas in my life that I am looking at, that I'm examining on a daily basis to make it line up with this word. I don't ever want to work against Jesus, what we read. I have room to grow. There are things that I strive for. Lord, show me, reveal to me. These areas of my life, these areas, my thought patterns. It was amazing, you know, the other day, I decided instead of going to the gym, I thought, I'm just going to take a long walk. And so I took this long walk and listening to some music and just praying in other tongues, just walking, praying. And I walked from my house and went all the way up through, you know, the new area there where the shopping center is at, and all the way up to Wailuku. And I get up to Wailuku about to make the, the corner to come down Main Street there. And as soon as I turned the corner to come down Main Street, there was this car that just pulled up behind another vehicle. And this lady in this car, she was so angry and so upset at the person in front of her. They must have done something wrong. And she was in the car all by herself. And this other person was in a truck and they had the windows rolled up. But she pulls in right up on their bumper. I mean, like inches away. And she's literally hanging out the window, flipping the people off, yelling and screaming at them. And I'm walking, you know, trying to watch where I'm going. But I'm watching this lady. It's like, wow, I don't care what this other person did. Maybe they made a mistake. Maybe they, you know, accidentally cut her off. I don't know. Maybe they did it on purpose. I don't know. But she's the one that looks like the idiot. That's when I look, where's Andrew? I wish Andrew was around. There's so many things like that that you see in this world today. So upset the other day, I had to run Lahaina for an errand. I'm coming back from Lahaina. Just amazing what you can see on the road. It's amazing. And I'm on the poly. I mean the poly, right? The poly. You need to stay on your toes, especially with tourists and everybody else. Stay on your toes when you're on the poly, right? Watch what's going on. Here's another, bless his heart, idiot. In front of me, a young kid and another person, a girl over in the seat with him. And I don't know if they're fighting. I don't know what's going on. But I'm watching this guy. He's like swerving all over the road. And then he starts jerking his car into incoming traffic. Like he's going to hit him. Then he would jerk back, and he would jerk so hard. They were in this little car. I don't know what kind of car it was. In this little car, and they jerked so hard, the car could have flipped. And this is going on the poly. Where's Andrew when you need him? But oh my gosh, what if he'd hit a tourist? What if he'd hit somebody that lived here? What if he hit somebody in our church? What if he just killed himself? Such an angry world. And why are we so angry about? And why do we take it out when we're on the road? We think that when we get behind this hunk of metal that we become invincible. And nobody else out there matters, and we can hide, and we can do things, and it doesn't matter. It's your heart. It's a heart problem. Are you here? Oh my, how'd I get off on all of this? We can live as close to God as we want to live. Compromise is an adversary. It's an adversary. Those that live a life of compromise, Jesus really isn't first. And compromise is a deadly mixture. It's a mixture of a little bit of good and a little bit of bad. We could put it to you this way. Compromise is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan mixed together. Compromise is spirit and flesh. Compromise is good and evil, right and wrong, truth with a little bit of lie mixed in. Well, they'll never know. And just because, you know, you say something with a little bit of lie mixed in, well, you know, it's not really a big lie. It really doesn't matter. There is one thing that, I don't know if it's just me or not, but hopefully it's not just me, but man, this gets under my skin more than anything else, more than any other blatant sin. Don't lie to me. Even if it just seems like something, don't lie to me. Be truthful. We lie because it makes ourselves look bad, and we don't want to look bad.
Are you here?
Compromise is God and Satan, spirit of God and the spirit of the world. Oil and water, gas and water. New wine, old wine. Blessing and the curse, right confession, wrong confession. Consistent tithing and sporadic tithing. Oh, there's a lot of compromises we could name. Faith and fear. Love and hate. Godly sex inside of marriage, ungodly sex outside of marriage. If you're not married, it's not okay. And the scripture defines what marriage is, not the Supreme Court. Amen? Living saved one day and acting unsaved the next, hot and cold. Jesus talked about this in the book of Revelation, didn't he? I don't want to be labeled as one of those that are lukewarm. What about you? Lukewarm Christians are those that are just exactly that. They call themselves Christians. Amen. What is compromise? Compromise means to know what is right, but deciding to go a little below and not do what you know is right. When you compromise what's right and you make it wrong. Right? Webster's defines compromise as this: it is a settlement of differences in which both parties make concessions. You might call this adapting to one another or meeting the other person halfway. Spiritually speaking, you can't meet people halfway when it comes to the Bible. Spiritual law or things of the Spirit, you must do what's right. All the time, not part of the time. There's never a gray area when it comes to the things of God. When it comes to being a follower of Jesus, either something is right or it's wrong. Amen. Look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll end up here in just a second. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say, food was made for the stomach and stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies, and that God will raise us from the dead by His power, just as He raised our Lord from the dead. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is a part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never, it says. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scripture says the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Verse 18. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. What's the scripture say to do with it? Run from it. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. It's powerful. What do you do with these? So many areas where we don't really honor God with our bodies. And we should. It's not just sex. Could be drugs. Could be just not eating right. Eating the proper foods that will fuel your body so you'll be around here for your kids and for your grandkids and your great-grandkids a long time. And we've all missed it in some of these areas. But when we do miss it, we can get right back on track. Just don't stay over there in the ditch. I like a good bowl of ice cream like everybody else does. Forget the bowl, just use the carton. I'm a man of peace, I'm a man of faith, I'm a stressless man, that's my confession all the time, but I'm a human just like you. And I'm still trying to come off of the fact that my little daughter married this man right here, which I love with all of my heart. And it's fine, it's wonderful and all of that, but when all of this happens, when all of this goes on, one of the ways that I try to compensate is three for $10 at Foodland. Yeah, this is bad. This is really bad. And so I'm sitting there waiting in the living room of the day, and Robin says she's going to go take a bath and all the stuff that she does in the bath. And so normally she's going to be a while, right? So it takes a while because she'll do all kinds of stuff in there. Who knows what she does in there, but she's in there. So I've just gotten accustomed to it, and so I thought, well, I had a thought. So I jumped in the truck, and we'll go to Foodland. See what we can see. Because I was wanting some Haagen-Dazs, because I was still dealing with some emotional stuff here, and I needed some help. And so I get to the aisle, I pick out my Haagen-Dazs. It's on sale, three for $10, so might as well get three. Got strawberry, vanilla, and then the chocolate peanut butter. Whoa, that's a good one. So I put them in the little basket, and I'm standing there in line, and she gets a text, and all the text said was, because I didn't tell her bye, I didn't tell her anything, I just left. And so then the text says, put the ice cream down, exclamation point. Telling on myself. So you know what I text back? No. They're three for $10. You can't pass up a good deal like this. So you know what I did? I brought them home. And you know what else I did? I opened up every one of them. A little bit of each. Now, there's nothing wrong with, you know, doing little things like that every once in a while. Don't misunderstand me in all of this. But when that is just your life, what? It hasn't been mine for months. No, it hasn't. Just a couple. Not months. Months means three. Maybe three. We're pushing it. But how many of us, you know, we do things like that. You know, ice cream can seem harmless, and it is to a degree, but not if that's all you eat. If you look at the calories on that thing. You know, when you're going to sin and you're going to do it, don't look at the calories, just do it. So that's why I have to take 8-mile walks. Got to balance this out, right? In the heat of the day when you're feeling guilty and it's 105 degrees outside and you do it anyway. Holy moly. Compromise. We can have as much of God as we want to. Amen? Let me read this to you. Message Bible, just listen. 1 Corinthians 6. A number of you know from experience what I'm talking about, verse 11. For not so long ago, you were on that list. Since then, you've been cleaned up, given a fresh start by Jesus, our Master, our Messiah, and by our God present in us, the Spirit. Just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. There's so many things that may be technically legal today, but it doesn't make them spiritually appropriate. Spiritually legal. Amen? Amen? We need to be bold in this day. And not be timid, not afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. Man, if their feelings get hurt, hurt them. The Lord will heal their feelings, but not do it in a mean way. Don't misunderstand any of this. Not in a mean way, but in a love way, in a way what you're trying to embrace and to pick up and to help them escape and find a way, the true way to freedom and life in Christ. Not throwing rocks, not throwing stones. The love of God to set people free. But the trouble is, how can we do that for others when we ourselves, we compromise so many things? I really think today that we should examine our hearts. And we shouldn't leave here today and, oh, that was good. It was different. It was good. That's all right. You know, whatever. But leave here today with our spirits pricked, our hearts pricked by the Holy Spirit. Where even if we think that we're doing everything right, there must be more areas of our lives that we can conform to the Word and to put Jesus first. And to sell out for Him in a greater way than we have. And don't pride ourselves and calling ourselves a Christian. I'm a Christian because I go to Faith Family Maui. I'm a Christian because of this and because of that. Let others label you because of the fruit that you produce. According to the Word, because today's definition of Christian is completely different than what it really is. Jesus, we want you. We want to follow you. We want to truly, truly live according to your word, according to your will. We truly want to embrace you with all of our hearts and to live for you. Be passionate about you. Have the joy of our salvation restored back unto us. That is contingent upon our repentance. Us changing the way that we think, in our course, our direction. But Lord, we repent. We judge ourselves of these areas where we've compromised our walk, where we've compromised our stand for holiness and righteousness and truth. Forgive us, Lord, for not speaking up to family members. Forgive us, Lord, for not speaking up to co-workers. But Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you present these opportunities again so that we can rectify the compromise in truth and in love, and that our words would be seasoned with grace. That they would minister, their words would minister grace to those that hear them and bring them to a place of repentance. Help us, Lord, to be more compassionate to the world around us, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, yes, but to those that we don't even know. Lord, maybe that lady I saw the other day yelling, hanging out of her window, maybe she just got fired from her job. Maybe her child just said something heartbreaking to her. Maybe something happened to her a long time ago that she hasn't got free of. Lord, help us to not respond with equal anger in these situations. Help us not to respond in such a manner as the world responds, but to respond with compassion and respond with love. Jesus, help us to be more like you. Help us, Lord.